Hello, this is Daryl Bigger from Walla Walla University. We're here together again today to talk about the subject of this week's Bible study guide, Nature as a Source of Health, written by Julian Melgoza, who is with us today. Julian is the Dean of the School of Education and Psychology here at Walla Walla. Also talking with us is Larry Viverka, longtime School of Theology faculty member and hospital chaplain. Gentlemen, this subject intrigues me. I have loved the outdoors since I was a child. And to think about nature as a source of health reminds me of all the stories of Jesus preaching outdoors, of his visits in nature, of his praying outside all night. Those connections seem very clear to us. And Julian, the memory text today is one that many of us memorized while we were still children. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day they put forth speech. Night after night they display knowledge. We come to a knowledge of God from being outdoors.
Daryl, I thought that perhaps you were going to start this section by reminding us of all those stories where Jesus sat on a horse and preached to the multitudes of people.
Larry knows me as a lover of horses, huh? That is true. I like that outdoor stuff.
One who, even though not in the ranching business, will join the spring roundup, or is that the right time of year?
Yeah.
It shows how much I know, but anyway. Yeah. Mm. Just for the sake of being out with chaps on and the chaparral and sagebrush and cactus and whatever else you run into out there.
Yeah. I'm sure that's part of the reason that I have cherished our several decades in Walla Walla now, that it does have a very rural feel compared to where many of our listeners live.
Mm-hmm.
The advantages of being in the country. We've heard people say that you can get in touch with God in nature, Julian.
Yes, I believe so. In fact, there is a new field in psychology that is called eco-psychology, which involves observing nature and how nature affects the mood and behavior of people who are in or out. And I have the reference to a study, Yolanda Maas from the University of Utrecht in Holland, who studied no less than 250,000 patients, because over there they have a health system in which every Dutch person is assigned to a given practitioner, and then they have a network that they can, you know, gather data from basically the entire country's population. And in this study that she and her colleagues conducted, they observed a large number of people depending on where their home was. And they contrasted the people who lived within half a mile of parks and woods compared to those who lived more than, I believe it was 2 to 3 miles away from these sources. And they found that those who lived a mile and a half or more from green space, they had poorer health than those who lived half a mile from these open spaces and parks. And the correlations were strongest in the cases of mental disorders such as anxiety, depression, and also among people who tended to spend more time at home, like the children or the elderly. Of course, scientists will say, well, more vitamin D, you know, more fresh air, more exercise opportunities. I would like to say that just the vision of creation, you know, large trees and gardens and flowers and space, you know, that allows that kind of witnessing. It's already a gift of nature that affects physical as well as mental health.
Mm. And for those of you who are listening, you need to know that Julian was looking up the results of this study in the book which he has written titled Mental and Emotional Health, a companion book to our study guides this quarter. Very interesting. So it is not just because I grew up in the country that when I go visit my relatives just outside of Washington, D.C., that I like to go walk in the park. It isn't just because I'm a country boy. It is demonstrated.
It creates a mood. It creates a mood. Yet we cannot be critical with people who live in cities. I was born in the inner city in Madrid. I went to school in the heart of the city. I remember playing soccer in the streets where one of the boys had to be warning us whether a car was coming. That was where I was born, and I don't have any choice about that, and I am proud that I am from there, but I would have liked to be in a different context. I didn't have the choice. I was fortunate that later on in my life, associated with jobs, I could live in rural communities, and I prefer those ones. But, you know, my family, my mother, my sister continue to live in the city of Madrid, and there they are. We should not be judgmental about these people and tell them you should do something to move out of the city. I think they are accomplishing their own missions in the city, and if you know, they cannot do it otherwise, they shouldn't be reminded. Yeah,
Larry, you worked for a while in the Los Angeles area.
Yes, that was fascinating. I think one of the goals in working with inner city kids was to give them experiences that would be different from the concrete jungle. And it was fun to take kids water skiing at the Colorado River, to organize trips to the beaches, to go up in the snow-covered areas that are fairly close. And these were, in many instances, new experiences to a lot of these kids. It was fun to teach them how to swim when they didn't really cotton to water too well, but could discover and make those sorts of discoveries. And we didn't do, you know, I often thought that snow was a playground for rich folk, but we used truck inner tubes that we could get from service stations and pieces of cardboard and plastic and whatever else, and went and had fun in the snow. And built quite it seems to me, a connection with the church there as a place where this church community cared so much about these kids that they wanted church to be associated with fun, enjoyment, excursions into nature, finding the kind of excitement that you don't find when you're playing, when you're manipulating the stuff of the inner city, as opposed to the excitement that you find standing on a mountaintop or going 60 miles an hour down a snowbank or something like that.
Many ancient and traditional religions connect their sense of the divine with some natural phenomenon, being out by themselves. Is that what we as Christians mean when we say we think there is natural healing in the natural world?
I haven't found out that in my experience. I think the Christian folk, when they go to nature, they feel that their mood is affected, that they feel better, that if they pray, they feel closer to God. But from there to look at the beauties of nature as something to respect to the point of worship, I haven't seen it in Christianity, but I know that it exists in many other cultures that are called primitive cultures. So there is something that is spiritual about nature, and as we were talking off the mic here at the beginning of the session today, our engineers mentioned, well, God, Jesus retired to the wilderness in order to, you know, find his Father and to find communion with God in preparation for his ministry, and that is a an interesting piece of information. He didn't go into a basement of a house and be there, but he went to the wilderness. And I also would like to say that there is something that, apart from spirituality, a natural setting brings, and is simply more ability to be productive and more ability to think in a focused way. The example that I have in front of me, this book I wrote because this editor from Pacific Press, they called me in October and last year and said, "Do you want to write the companion for the Bible study guide?" And I said, "Yeah, I think I can do that." And the reason why I didn't hesitate is because I was on sabbatical, and I had a writing project for a book, and I found myself in a cabin in Lostin, Oregon, and I spent there 3 months. And I remember that the two first months were so productive, 1.5 months, that what I wanted to do in 3 months, I finished in less than 2 months. Then I got the message from this fellow, and I agreed. And I didn't finish it, but I've basically finished it so that when I came back to teach in January, in 2 or 3 weeks, I was able to finish it. In no way I would have finished that if I had been in a different context. Mm-hmm. Now, it has to do also with your routines and distractions and so on. But to me, it had to do a lot with being in front of a window that I could see evergreens from first to, you know, miles ahead. And whenever snowed, it was white. And whenever, you know, melted, it melted. And just that context there, I could go outside to take a walk or two or three. And you know, that to me increased my productivity. Mm-hmm. This is apart from spirituality.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. I'm remembering also the large number of stories and parables of Jesus that had to do with the world around him, the natural world. Crops that were growing, seeds and trees, etc. Lots of ways in which Jesus connected. But there were also some experiences that he had in the cities where he saw God through other people. So I would encourage those who, by circumstance, find themselves living in the city to seek out those avenues, places, the green spaces, if you will, where they can enjoy the natural world, but also to look for God in one another, in the lives of people around them, because the same God who created the trees and flowers and grass created the human beings that we see as well. And all of us retain some reminders of who God is and what God is like. Well, Larry and Julian, thank you for this discussion about the world in which we live. And thanks to Chad Ofterhaar, our engineer. This is Daryl Digger at Walla Walla University for The Good Word.
You've been listening to Good Word, a production of the School of Theology at Walla Walla University and KGTS-FM. To order a copy of today's broadcast, you can call 509-527-2194. Thanks for listening, and we'll be here next week at this time with Good Word.